It's KFI AM 640. It is the Conway Show. And I got to say, I didn't always believe that the Dodgers could pull this off, right? And now I am a believer. And the Los Angeles Dodgers and David Vassay is with us. Ma'am, what an unbelievable comeback, huh, Bub?
Yeah, it really was. It was really exciting to be out here in Texas and witness the Dodgers have one of the great league championship series comebacks. And honestly, Tim, I never doubted that they would come back, even when they were down 3-1 because of the talent they have and the lack thereof from the Atlanta side.
Right. And I always thought, look, I thought Atlanta has a, you know, a pretty talented team. But I thought, man, unless every single one of these guys on the bench for Los Angeles goes cold, I don't know how they can lose.
Yeah, you're right. And the longer the series went, the more of an advantage it was for the Dodgers because Atlanta was running out of pitching. You saw that last night. They had nowhere to turn in a Game 7 of all places. And the Dodgers had a lot of places to turn. And Julio Urias was a big place to turn as he closed out the final three innings.
You know, I think it was Anderson. Was it Anderson that started for Atlanta?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look, go back and look at that game, when he made a pitch, I believe in the fourth, fifth, or sixth inning, when he made a pitch that was very, very high, I think it was to Turner, and then he grabbed his hip afterwards, and I think that's where he lost it and started to throw ball after ball, and I think he just ran out of gas or he did something with his hip.
Yeah, he's a rookie pitcher, so no matter what the stats say, it's emotionally draining in the playoffs, and especially for a young guy that's never been there.
Right.
Facing a team like the Dodgers that have been there and have a lot of poise, and you're facing a guy like Justin Turner who's going to make you work for every single pitch that you throw, it's exhausting. And I think he ran out of gas, and they had nowhere else to go. I mean, A.J. Minter, who was their secret weapon a couple of games ago where he threw three scoreless innings, striking out seven Dodgers, he had nothing left in the tank, and it was so apparent last night.
Right. David Vassay is with us from the Los Angeles Dodgers. Is it safe to say that Buehler is the starter and the number one Dodger pitcher right now for how he saved this team?
For sure. In these moments, Tim, he has definitely built up in a short amount of time a big game pitcher reputation. What he did the other night puts him in the same category as guys like Madison Bumgarner and Justin Verlander in the last 20 years to have three different postseason games where he pitched at least six innings and did not give up a run. That's what the great ones do, and he was calm with every single pitch, and he only threw 89 pitches in six scoreless innings. And
that's unbelievable.
He just has it. That's being around him since he's been a rookie, since he got called up. He takes it right up to the line of cockiness, but he respects the game, and he still has a lot of confidence in himself, but he never crosses that line, even though his teammates will tell you he walks it right up there.
Right. I think last night, look, I get so nervous watching this Dodger game that every single pitch, when it was tied 3-3, for both sides, every single pitch, I freeze frame it right before the pitch. And I advance it at 1/116th of the speed. And so it takes like, 15 seconds for the pitch to get to the plate. When Bellinger hit that home run, even at slow, slow speed, I knew that thing was in the upper deck well before even he did.
Well, number one, that's really worrisome that you watch baseball games that way. So we could tackle that another day. But you're right.
It takes me forever to watch a game.
Yeah, the games are already 4 hours long, Tim, so I'm not sure how long it takes you to watch a game.
I'm nervous, dude. I'm nervous.
Oh, man. But, yeah, that was not a good matchup for Chris Martin against Cody Bellinger. I talked to Andre Ethier this morning, and he was watching the game not the same way as you, Tim. He was not pausing it.
Right.
And he could tell that it was going to be a bad matchup and it was going to be a home run because of the way the balls were going into Cody's swing path. It was a horrible matchup, and it was a big mistake to pitch to him.
Yeah, I think you're right. Why not just walk him,
Exactly.
I mean, even if you lose by if you lose by 20 or one, you still lose.
Tim, it was one of many bad decisions by the Braves not to walk Cody Bellinger and face AJ Pollock in that situation.
Right, but did you see? By the way, did Dave Roberts have a talk with the team, and especially Kike Hernandez on how not to kill fellow players?
I'm sure he will. I was on a press conference Zoom with him earlier tonight, and he wasn't too happy about that.
Tell people what happened, because for people that didn't watch that game last night, after Bellinger hit the home run and he high-fived one player, I think Hernandez was the second player, right, that he high-fived?
Came back and gave him a Bash Brothers shoulder.
Right. And he dislocated his shoulder.
Dislocated his shoulder. It has happened before. It seems like it's a Mel Gibson Rush Hour or Lethal Weapon 2 type of shoulder where he could pop it out and pop it back in several times.
But isn't it tremendously painful when you do something like that?
It was. They were even worried about sending him back out there, but it only affects him on the swing, not on defense. So he said today that he's done it 3 or 4 different times, and he knows how his shoulder is going to feel the next day, but he did not seem too concerned about whether or not he'll be 100% for game one tomorrow.
Okay, but let's say he didn't dislocate it. Let's say he broke it. Wouldn't the Dodgers sit there and wonder how they can get snake bit yet again?
Yeah, but that did not happen, Tim, thankfully.
I know, but it's got to stop those celebrations.
If we did that in the hallway after they win the World Series, then there might be some injuries and calling 911. But these guys got a lot of muscle mass on them, Conway. They're not like us.
I know, but still, that could have been a disaster.
How about just a high five?
Yes, exactly. They can high five each other. You know, it's
you
like
could, yeah,
who
they
is
can
the...
high five. They've been in a bubble. They've been tested. They could. Do you see any social distancing going on in the dugout, Tim?
No, not at all. But exactly. You know what it reminded me of? There was a kid, I can't remember his name. I think his name was Drew Tranquil or something like that. Anyway, he was on Notre Dame, and he scored a big touchdown for them. And he did one of those things where, you know, you jump in the air and you hit your body against the other body and you come down. And he broke his leg after a big celebration. Oof. I think it was in the first or second game of the year. And those kind of stupid things like that must make a manager just absolutely crazy. All right, so Dave, so what happens now tomorrow? The Dodgers start. Who are they starting? What time? And where is it located? The whole run.
All right. Well, I'm live in Arlington, Texas, Tim. Ooh. I'm in my hotel room right across the street from AT&T Stadium, Jerry's World, while Monday Night Football is going on. The Dodgers had a little bit of a, not really a workout. They went into the stadium to get some treatment. But game one tomorrow, Clayton Kershaw will be starting game one for the Dodgers, going up against right-hander Tyler Glasnow out of Hart High School in Valencia. And first pitch is at 5:08 tomorrow. Our pregame coverage on AM 570 begins at 4 o'clock, and Dave Roberts will be my pregame guest.
Heavy Dodgers, my man, heavy Dodgers tomorrow.
That's right, my man. We got a morning show, Steve Sachs, Tim Cates. It's going to be wall-to-wall Dodgers, my man.
All right. And, again, I'm sorry. Who's pitching for the Dodgers tomorrow?
It's a guy by the name of Clayton Kershaw.
That's right. That's right. A guy that can get his reputation back in one game tomorrow, winning the first game of the World Series.
Well, he actually did that in 2018, Tim. He did win game one of the World Series. But they, you know, everybody just focuses on his shortcomings. They never remember when he pitches well in the postseason.
Yeah, I understand that. But, I mean, look, since I think it's 1889, he has the best record in regular season play, and that flip-flops when it comes to postseason play.
Yes, he has not been. He kind of psychs himself out. He wants it too badly, I think, sometimes, and it just warps his brain. And how about this? He's from this area. He grew up about 15 minutes away from where we are at Globe Life Field. And he grew up a Texas Rangers fan. Will Clark was his favorite player, who wore the jersey number 22, and that's why he wears the jersey number 22.
Oh, boo-boo. I didn't know that. Hey, let me ask you something. If here's an email from a listener. Let's see. World Series, this guy paid $470 for Game 3, $525 for Game 5. You have to buy tickets in four-pack because the group will be socially distanced. Is that true?
Yeah, I had somebody DM me say you can only buy four tickets. You can't buy a single ticket. You have to buy four. Yeah.
What if you're antisocial? What if you're like a guy who just hates everybody? You have to buy four to sit your ass by yourself?
You stay at home. Stay at home by yourself.
Yeah, it's cheaper that way.
And hey, by the way, I have noticed the ushers. I have noticed the ushers during the NLCS constantly reminding fans to put their masks back on, and I've seen arguments with ushers because fans don't want to do it.
That's
so
right.
There's been a lot of that out here.
Yeah, because they're Americans, dude. And they're also out in the open. There's four people sitting in a place that holds 900,000 people, and they're like, why?
Yeah, how are you going to eat your hot dog with your mask on?
Right. Plus, I guess the breeze really catches that stadium in an odd way and gets real windy on the field, huh?
There was one game where the wind was whipping around 20 miles an hour. So, one game it was an issue. Outside of that, not too bad. And they're keeping the roof open because of the whole coronavirus situation. They want open air, and that's what they're going to do unless there's rain.
Dave, hey, one more question. I'll let you go. I know you got TV to watch and room service to eat. But doesn't Kershaw and Mookie Betts individually, they each make more than the entire team of Tampa Bay?
No, I wouldn't say that. Are you talking about 1 year or their total contract?
This year, because of the 2020. Shrinkage in
combined,
salaries.
Combined, their salary is more than the entire payroll of the Rays, which is $64 million.
Wow. That's incredible. I thought it was just one, but okay, you combine both those guys and they make more than the Rays.
Yes, exactly. They each make $30 million.
And Bueller's like, hey, where the F is my check?
Yeah. I'm like the Tampa Bay Rays in this conversation, Tim.
That's great, buddy. All right, so you're going to stay down there till the end. How long have you been in Texas?
I've been here 2 weeks since the Dodgers arrived here for the postseason against the Padres. So
and
I've been in Texas for 2 weeks and counting.
And you're a good family guy. I bet you miss your daughters, man.
I really do. And my wife and my kids have been tremendous. And they've been awesome. But yeah, we do miss each other a lot. It's just one of those things for this year, and we'll see where it goes after this.
All right, I want a truthful answer, okay? And it'll endure you with the audience if it shakes down one way or the other. But since you've been in Texas, have you been on FaceTime with the kids and you got emotional?
Yes.
Yes!
My son actually he told me he had a dream last night that the Dodgers lost and I was able to come home, and that kind of broke.
He's
only five.
That's great, man. Oh, that's awesome, dude. Yeah, the kids are the best, and when you have to leave for that long, it depresses the hell out of you because, you know that most of the time, they're busy with their mom and their schoolwork and stuff like that. But when they say, Dad, when are you coming home? It tears you apart.
Yeah. Yeah. My family's been Padres fans and Braves fans, and now they're Dodger fans. Since I'm here, they might as well win it.
That'd be great. You're FaceTiming your family, and they're all in Padres gear.
Yeah. Every day they would ask me, did the Dodgers lose last night? No, they won.
That's great. Turning them against the Dodgers early. That's awesome. All right, buddy. I have a great time. I hope you can at least drive by the stadium and look at it, right? Will they let you in?
Conway, I've been doing Dodger talk for the last 2 weeks from inside the stadium.
Well, they let you in the stadium. Well, they let you in the locker room.
Not the locker room, but I'm inside the stadium. I'm in the broadcast booth.
If the Dodgers win, will they allow you into the celebration?
Some players have said they will find a back door for me.
Oh, that's great, dude. That's how much they love you. All right, buddy, I really appreciate you calling in. Go Dodgers. Thanks for coming on, bub.
You're the best, Conway. Thank you so much.
Absolute best. Thanks, bub. That's a great dude, that David Vesey.